So the question is this: how can entrepreneurs like us remain profitable while having a lean physique, optimal focus, and incredible relationships? That's the question. This podcast will give you the answer. My name is Nate Palmer, and welcome to the Million Dollar Body. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Million Dollar Body podcast, the intersection of physical and financial success. I'm Nate Palmer. If you're here, you're probably because you're a high performer, a business owner, entrepreneur, or a busy dad that's interested in gaining an unfair advantage in life using fitness and nutrition as force multipliers. If you're not already a part of the Facebook group, definitely go to n8trainingsystems.com/group to join us there. There's a ton of cool stuff happening, as well as a massive amount of free resources and information. Again, go to natetrainingsystems.com/group to join us there. I'm super excited though today because we are talking to Dr. Mike DeBoard of B3 Sciences. Dr. Mike is going to blow our minds with one of the most popular with training implements that has had a meteoric rise in the last several years as more information has come out about blood flow restriction training or BFR training. So Dr. Mike, super excited to have you here. Really pumped to be able to get some of your wisdom and information around BFR.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, Nate. I'm excited to share this technology with everyone.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How, where were you before? And then what have you been, how has everything been going with the president and founder of B3 Technologies?
Yeah, I was a sports chiropractor. So being certified, I treat a lot of athletes. I had the opportunity to meet Dr. Jim Stray Gunderson, who's one of the top Olympic training doctors in the world. He's been both European, and recently he's been out of Park City with the Bodie Millers and the Lindsey Vonns and that crowd. And he called me, I remember, from Japan and said, "Hey, Mike, you ever heard of blood flow restriction training?" This was 2013. He said, "We figured out what the Japanese were doing. We thought they were doping. We're trying to catch them doping, and here they're doing this technique and they're not telling anybody." He got to be friends with Dr. Sato, who's the godfather of BFR. And maybe when we go into the history, we'll talk about how he stumbled on this back in the 60s. And then he perfected it. But through that friendship, I got to try BFR when it came here from Japan. There was an expensive Japanese device called Katsu and loved it. Ended up, at this time, I'd already retired from chiropractic. I moved on. I got into running and managing network marketing companies, nutrition-based, holistic-based, stayed in the fitness arena. And a lot of the conversation Dr. Jim and I had was, "Hey, how can we market this?" And the Katsu system just wasn't marketable in the United States. Dr. Jim had perfected in his athletes, but then he had a partner and they had developed another really cool device called the Alter G treadmill. A lot of your listeners may have heard it's this anti-gravity treadmill. Well, Sean Whalen's family developed that. So they already had this cool air bladder technology. So they set out to solve some challenges that there was with this Japanese device. And they developed these bands, the B3 bands, and made it so they're affordable, easy to use, comfortable, safe, patented. It just made it so that everybody from an 8-year-old kid to a 90-year-old grandma to a doctor to an Olympic level athlete to a pro bodybuilder can take advantage of it. And once he developed that, I decided to start a company to help mass market this around the world. Hence, you're now seeing B3 Sciences. We're coming up on about 2 years. We've got about 15,000 people using the bands. We got Mark Wahlberg. We got Nick Cannon, we got the Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Clippers, Dr. Mercola, Dr. Oz. I mean, we're really starting to see very influential people like yourself that are saying, "Hey, man, there's something to this." And now I think what we're going to see, like you said, this meteoric rise. Over the next 2 to 3 years, everybody's going to see this. Doctors are going to be prescribing it. Gyms are going to be teaching classes on it. Grandmas are going to be out walking their dogs with it. So, I mean, it is, like you said, just recently, 3 weeks ago, Chris Helmsworth, God of Thunder, posted on his Instagram doing BFR. This is how he's building his guns. So you know, it's really exciting what's about to happen with this technology.
Yeah, it's cool. And I feel like with a lot of times, like within bodybuilding, health and fitness, those technologies that come out and they're like, oh, brand new, something really crazy. It's the Hawaii chair. It's, you know, it's this, it's Bosu or whatever. And they're just like kind of old takes on, or like new takes on old things that have not really ever even been proven. And then you see someone doing it on the gram, you know, doing some crazy exercise and you're like, but that's not, is that really how you did it? So I'm really excited about BFR technology because of all the science and the history and stuff. So I want to talk a little bit more about like the kind of the differentiate between how bodybuilders are using this versus how people are using it for the rehab protocols. But before we do that, can we talk about Dr. Sato and kind of his research in the 60s and how that's led to this new technology?
Well, the first thing people need to understand is it's we take BFR, which is very simple, and we tend to make it complicated. Here's the simplicity of it. If you look at my hands here, you have oxygen flowing in your muscles, which is the primary source of fuel. You walk, you bike, you elliptical, you do everything except a super heavy weight, and you're using oxygen, okay? The goal of exercise is to use more oxygen than's flowing. So that's called your flow rate a 10. If you exercise at a 5, a 6, a 7, 8, or a 9, you never exceed available oxygen. Perfect example, Forrest Gump went for a run. Remember Forrest? Box of chocolates? How far did he run?
He all just the way.
Run. All the way. Why? He's using less oxygen than is flowing. He can go forever. This is where most people exercise. That's why you walk in the gym and you go out to the park and you see all these people doing this aerobic exercise. None of them look like you and me, Nate. They don't have six packs. They don't have guns. And they're always overweight. Why? They're never using enough oxygen to flip the scale, push themselves into an oxygen deficit, which turns on fast twitch muscles and produces lactic acid. How do all of our listeners know when that's happening? It's very simple. If you use more oxygen than's flowing, let's imagine that you're using oxygen 11, then you'll very quickly feel the burn. It's that simple. If you feel the burn, your muscles are out of oxygen and you're now going anaerobic. You're burning muscle glycogen and you're dropping lactic acid or lactate, and you're going to get growth hormone and you're going to change. That's all exercise is. And I like what you said earlier. All we've done for 30 or 40 years is we just regurgitate over here, you know, Pilates, cross. We just regurgitate the same old thing, which is movement. Movement is not adaptative exercise. Exercise only causes adaptation when you use more oxygen than it's flowing. Ingenious idea Sato came up with. What if instead of your oxygen flowing at a 10, we bring it down to a 5? Now your oxygen's flowing at a 5. You're going for a walk, that's a 6. You're on the elliptical, that's a 7. You're doing light exercise, lightweight, rebounder, vibration plate, yoga, playing pickleball, mowing the yard, water aerobics. All things that would never in a million years create an oxygen deficit to get lactic acid are now creating this mismatch because you've only got half the oxygen and you're going for a walk or you're on the rebounder or you're in the water and you're feeling a burn in your muscles like you're doing 5 times the amount of work. And that burn is basically what most people think is lactic acid. Let's not get real technical and call it, you know, hydrogen ion. No, hey, you're right. You're dropping lactic acid. The pH is dropping in your muscle. More important is this. Your brain is paying attention to that lactic acid. Your brain doesn't say, Nate, whoa, dude, that's a lot of weight. Man, I'm going to give you growth hormone. Your brain doesn't go, Nate, man, I'm going to reward you, dude, 45 minutes on, you know, on the Peloton. Brain doesn't care. Your brain only cares if you start creating lactic acid or lactate. That's the trigger that goes up this efferent nerve pathway right here to the brain and gives you growth hormone. So BFR, very simply, it's a matter of slowing down blood flow so that you have less oxygen so that you can work out at a level that your body can tolerate, but creates that oxygen mismatch. Now you got circulating lactate. You know it because you feel the burn, and you're going to get growth hormone. And for people who are already getting it, like me and you, Nate, it's more growth hormone. For people who aren't, getting it, we're talking about turning growth hormone on, which is a massive game changer for the average person.
Yeah, the amount of like the amount of the results you're going to see, the amount of healing you're going to get from that. And I think that like, if you're listening to this and you, if you've been to the gym before, you've done a set of bicep curls and you've taken it to failure, you know what the burn feels like. You also know the intensity it takes to get there, right? Like I always tell my clients, Dr. Mike, like, hey, it's really not about the first like 8-10 reps. It's those last 2-3 reps when you're really,
that's all
like,
it's about.
That's where you, cause you gotta buy in first, right? You can put your chips on the table. And then when you stop at rep 10, when you had 3 more reps in the tank, like you left all those gains on the table. So what you're telling me is that BFR lowers the buy-in. So now you don't have to use the heaviest weights. You don't have to go 100% to like your like last possible rep because the threshold has been lowered as to what is going to give you results. And honestly, it sounds too good to be true, right?
Yeah.
That I can get results from walking and mowing the yard, you know, that I can get results using half the weight and half the time. Like, you know, in a industry where we're being sold BS all the time from supplement companies, you know, this sounds like it's too good to be true. Can you tell us like why this is not too good to be true and why this, like the science or like some of the results that you're seeing from this? I'm a huge believer. I'm just wanted to, I just know where people's minds are going to go.
Number one, it's not doing anything foreign to your body. It's not even tricking your body. You're just it's like a biohack. You're going to tap in to what the body is designed to do. So it's not dangerous. It's not unsafe. It's not foreign. It's exactly how you are designed as a human being to thrive. You are designed to get growth hormone. We were hunters. We were gatherers. We were meant to build and gather and run and sprint and jump. Those bursting exercises is what the human body thrives on. So number one, this is exactly how your body's designed to thrive. Number two, this isn't a fad. This isn't Billy Blanks and Tybo. This isn't, you know, the shake weight thing. Remember that crazy thing? This is, over 500 documented studies, peer reviews, case studies all over the world. I haven't met one doctor. And doctors are always a little bit skeptical and rightfully so. And then they read the research. They're like, wow, I guess it works. I should try it. And that's where we're at. We are at the point where it's scientifically sound. It can't be argued with.
I love this also because it didn't start as a new fitness fad. Dr. Seda wasn't like, you know how to build sick biceps? You know, this started as a therapeutic technology, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
So like the way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong or completely off base here, but it was like developed as a way of helping people recover from like ACL tears and like going through like physical therapy and recovering at a much higher level. Can you go into that at all? Or correct me if I've said that incorrectly.
Well, Dr. Sabo, his first aha moment was when he put a full body cast on his leg in the 70s. He had fractured his ankle, tore ligaments in his knee. So he had enough testing and playing around that he thought, if I put a judo belt above the cast and crank it down and I do some exercises, maybe I can see two effects, a local effect in the muscle to where it doesn't atrophy, and a systemic effect, meaning a hormonal release that'll speed healing. At 6 weeks, he took the cast off, expecting to have to put a new cast on because a cast always moves and slips. Got to put a smaller one on. At 6 weeks, he had no atrophy of his quad muscle or his hamstring, and he's in a cast. And they x-rayed the ankle, and it had healed in half the time. What did he discover? That he was creating a local disturbance of homeostasis, dropping of oxygen, using of fuel, production of lactic acid that caused an anabolic response in the muscle. Myogenic stem cells turn on and start sucking in protein for protein synthesis, basically, you know, building muscle. And the secondary effect of the growth hormone, which was released, that stimulated faster healing. Specifically, it went down in the liver, created the IGF-1 and turned on bone-specific alkaline phosphatase, and his fracture healed in half the time. We've got athletes, we've healed their fractures in 2 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, fractures healing, because we have turned on growth hormone and bone-specific alkaline phosphatase. Not working the fracture here, working a non-injured body part. And that's the big thing that is really blowing people's minds is in the rehab and therapy world, that's one world, things are healing twice as fast by turning on growth hormone by working a non-injured body part. So you're right, Dr. Sato, he used it for therapy and rehab, then he started using it going for walks. He put it on dogs, he put it on goats. He's got all kinds of studies on bone density, cardiovascular remodeling, varicose veins, brain-derived nootropic factor. I mean, the studies he has are just profound and fascinating, you know, what can be done with this.
That is fascinating. So I got a client right now, fractured her ankle. So I'm going to ask a totally selfish question here, but like for someone like that, fracture ankle, fracture wrist, something in extremity, you wrap it, are you putting the band up top towards the shoulder, towards the hip, or are you putting it like below the knee, below the elbow?
We're going to work a non-injured body part.
So you're going to utilize, if she broke her legs, you utilize the arms to get that BDNF, to get that growth hormone, and just like basically, again, like you said, biohack the system to create more of this, but not necessarily wrap the injured body part.
All right. So let me give an example that everybody can relate to.
Cool.
I had a left hip replacement. It took the normal 15 weeks. That's pretty good. 12, 15 weeks of heal. Right hip replacement. After surgery, 6 hours after surgery, and I've got a video, everybody can see it. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed and I'm doing little pink dumbbells with my bands on. And the nurse comes in and she about loses her mind. And I just said, look, what do you need? What do you want? Take my pill. And then I said, get out. You know, I said, just get out. I don't, you know, if you're going to bug me, just get out of my room or I'll check out the hospital, take your pick. So the Dr. Jim taught me, I'm going to work a non-injured body. What happens when you have an injury? You get cortisol and you slow down growth hormone because they work against each other. So anybody who's injured, and the pro football team are doing this now. Rick Burkhart, Kansas City Chiefs, is one of them we're working with. Work a non-injured body part as soon as possible. So you fracture your ankle, work your upper body. I've got the only three-discipline world champion in martial arts. His name's Vinny Meng. He's got three disciplines. He's going for a fourth Chinese kick. He just had a labral repair. And we have him working his legs and his other arm. And he went back and his surgeon's like, what in the world are you doing? Why are you healing so fast? Growth hormone. We're turning on growth hormone in a body that is probably diminished on growth hormone due to an injury. So that's number one. Number two, as soon as you can start doing rehab on the injured body part, you follow your doctor or your therapist or your recommended to the T, you just put the bands on. You know, and you just get a quicker, easier, faster, deeper fatigue and you heal faster. And we're seeing minimum 30% improvement in outcomes, 50 to 6 ACLs back out on the field in 4 to 5 months that typically take 9 months because they're implementing BFR. So I can tell you this, you go in an NFL training room, they're all doing this already. I mean, just about 90% of injuries they deal with BFR is now involved because, like you said, Nate, you're turning on growth hormone speed and healing.
Well, if you could actually implement that a little bit faster for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he got the MCL strain. He's sitting on my fantasy football bench, really impacting me negatively. You know,
is he a Kansas City Chief?
He is.
Well, I can tell you, Burkholder, who's the head athletic trainer there, he's probably already using it on him. So.
All right. I'm just playing around. That's awesome. Okay, so. Like a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are busy people, right? They're executives, we're entrepreneurs, you know, we're doing stuff. Like for most of us, working out isn't as fun for them as it is for probably you and I, Mike.
Right.
So the idea of being able to train in less time and get the same or better results is obviously incredibly appealing. So can you walk us through, like, someone kind of who's a little more like us, looking for a little bit more physique development, actually wants to build some muscle, what's the good, a good strategy for them? And then, like, for someone who's maybe more like my mom, kind of in her 60s, not going to really go to hit the gym and pump some crazy iron, but wants to build strength, maintain strength. We talk a little bit about, like, what someone like that can do. Can we talk about those two different camps?
Yeah. There's three types of people. We got our non-exercise, non-workout people. That's our moms and that's put the bands on their legs and find something they like to do. Walk, rebound, elliptical, swim, go up and down the steps, mow the yard. Just move. And move until you feel the burn. So what do I mean? You're going for a walk and you don't feel the burn. Just stop and do a static squat. Just bend down in a skier position until you feel the burn and then keep going. All you've got to do is figure out what movement do I like to do that creates the burn. Maybe go up and down the steps 5 times at work, or sit up against the wall, or get on the elliptical, or walk the dog, or throw the ball to the kids. All you have to do is put the bands on and feel the burn for about 4 to 5 minutes and you're going to get growth hormone. That's a no-brainer. And if you could maybe do some upper body stuff, and we give people a free set of exercise tubing, if you could do a little, you know, maybe some arms one day and some other, you know, we got some real simple stuff you can do anywhere. If you could do that 2 days a week for 10 minutes and 3 or 4 days a week, just go do something, movement, swim, you're going to change your whole world. I mean, you're going to be shocked. You're going to have more energy, more sex drive. You're going to sleep better. You're going to tighten up. You're going to lean up. I mean, you're going to turn on growth hormones. That's category number one.
By the way, let me just jump in here for a second. Like, yeah. this episode is coming out before Christmas. So if there's that person in your life that you're like, I don't know, but maybe you should, like, I don't know if they're to get for them. They want to get in better shape. They got a lot of stuff going on. This could be a great option for someone who's that non-exerciser in your life that you're trying to encourage.
Yeah, exactly. It's a no-brainer. It's easy. It's, you know, it's 10 feet. Group number two, this is your recreational, go to the gym 4 to 5 times per week, your runners, your bikers. No change to your protocols. You know what you like to do. You know what you want to do. You go to the gym, you hit the elliptical, you go hit the weights, you run. All you do is put the bands on, and that buy-in time that Nate's talking about, that time it takes to get the fatigue, we're going to eliminate 90% of that. You're going to put the bands on and get on the elliptical. You're not going to go for 30 minutes. You're going to fall off that thing at 4 minutes. 4 minutes, you're done. If you got the bands on right, I mean, I'm in elite level aerobic shape because I've done it. I can't go more than 4 minutes on the elliptical. My legs are trashed. So you're going to take away all this buy-in time. It's not going to take you 3 sets to get to the burn. You're going to get on the first set. So you're going to eliminate dramatically amount of work. So you're going to cut your time from an hour down to 15 minutes, but you're going to hit a deeper fatigue. Very simple. I tell people, if the bands are not on, you're not going to get the same results. It's not possible. So you're going to feel the burn. And then, as Nate talked about, it's those last 3 or 4 reps you leave on the table. You're not going to have to leave those on the table because it's going to be so easy to get there. And then just hang on and feel the burn. That's group number two. Group number three, that's the pros. That's the serious runners, bikers, swimmers, bodybuilders. I teach them alternating workouts. Like for you, Nate, I'd say, Nate, do your normal heavy days and then do a BFR day. And then do a normal day and do a BFR. Now, I can't do that. I'm 57. My body can't take it. But if you are still at that level where you like your hour workouts, you like your 10-mile run, your 20K bike, you do every other workout. What's fascinating about this, give an example, the USA Olympic weightlifting team, they put them on their junior guys. And I had a call with them. And I won't mention the doctor's name, but they didn't believe in BFR. And I said to them, I said, let me ask you a question. You've got 315 pounds on your shoulder and you're doing your last set of 8. So for everybody out there that does elite level training, when you get to the end, when you stop because you're lifting a heavy weight, what percentage of fatigue are your fast twitch muscle fibers at? Those are the ones producing. Is it at 80? Is it at 95? Or is it at 99? If you're pushing 315, you don't stop because there's nothing left in the tank. You stop because there's not enough to push 315 one more time. And your body just, you know, you're dealing with the weight and maybe you got a joint issue. What if at the end, that weight was only 100 pounds? How much more deeper would you go into the glycogen reservoir of fast twitch muscle activation? That's the difference for the big boys.
And how much better are you going to put yourself in a position to win because you're not worried about your spine giving out on rep 9?
Yeah.
And you can actually stay in the quads. Because when you're asking this question, I was like, it's probably got to be less than 80% for most of us, because most of the time on these big heavy exercises, it's not our legs giving out. It's the intermediary muscles, the support system.
There you go. So what's happening is, because you got a lighter weight, you can tap deeper into fast twitch muscle fibers. And here's what really, I think, amazes people like me and you, Nate, the strength guys. Once the bands have taken the oxygen out of the equation, the aerobic pathway, the slow twitch muscle fibers, they don't have any more fuel. Bands aren't doing anything. They're done. When we're in anaerobic fast twitch muscle fiber activation, we're not using oxygen. We're using glycogen. Bands have nothing to, they just allow us to go get into the fast twitch really fast, really quick with a light weight. Now it's being able to move a light weight that fires fast twitch type 2X muscle fibers, drops all the circulating lactate, lowers the pH in the, to create a metabolic crisis in the muscle, and turns on all this anabolic, you know, properties that, that occur. So bottom line with muscle guy runners figuring out is I'm able to go deeper into fast twitch fiber recruitment, and that's going to equal change. It's going to equal explosion or power or speed or hypertrophy, but it's always going to equal change.
Two things about that that I like is, number one, metabolic crisis should probably be the name of Arnold's next movie. Just a thought. I'm just going to put that out in the universe. Number two, one thing I love about this is that not a single time have you said this is going to be painless. I think a lot of people think, well, it's too good to be true. This shit is still going to sting. And that's the beauty of it. It's not a free pass. It's not a pill. You don't slap on some electrodes and move about your day. You put the bands on and you can get there faster. Most of us don't ever get there, right? Most of us are too afraid of that. But this gives you a way to be able to do it safely. Because if you don't have to be curling 40 pounds anymore, you can curl 15 pounds and get the same result.
Exactly.
I think it lets our brains kind of relax and get away from this like feral state or like fear-based response where we're like, am I going to blow out my elbows right now? Because no way you're going to hurt yourself on 15s. So we can get into that pain and experience what that actually feels like to push ourselves into that corner without having to worry about, is my back going to give out? Is my elbow going to get hurt? Is my shoulders going like... So I like it. I like that there's that element there.
Yeah.
And this is very cool stuff.
Yeah. And well, here's what happens. When you talk to and you deal with these people, Nate, when you talk to serious people, you're not going to be able to get them to abandon their training principles. So that's why I came up with this alternating. I might say to you, look, Nate, I know you love your miles. You're a runner. And you just, I know you feel like you got to get them, but just give me 30 days and you go do your normal days, but I want half your days and I want you to go a quarter of the distance with the bands on. And here's what's going to happen, Nate. In 2 weeks, whether you're lifting weights or move, whatever it is you're doing, in 2 weeks, you're going to be doing your normal workout and your jaw's going to hit the floor because you're going to be like, what in the frick is going on? Why is this third set of heavy squats feel like nothing? Why am I not breaking down on my run? Why do I have more in the tank? And then the switch goes off and you go, holy crap, it's working. I'm fatiguing my body deeper on BFR days and it's translating. And that's where the buy-in hits. Athletes don't buy in if you try and change everything. So you got to give them baby steps of BFR. And then in about a week or two, they go, holy cow, look what's happening to me. And then they get it. And then they're in forever.
So most of my clients aren't really runners, but so like for the kind of like the standard issue gym goer who's looking to add this in, if we're going to be like, okay, I don't really buy it. Dr. Mike sounds very convincing. He's obviously got large biceps. So let me give his method a shot. So we're gonna do 30 days. We're gonna give it a shot. We're not gonna abandon our training principles. We're gonna give it to every other day BFR. So right. Let's say Monday we train chest, International Chest Day, right? On Tuesday, then is that also like the same muscle groups you worked the day before? Or are we doing like antagonistic pairings, or like what's
the, so does it matter? If you have 5 workouts in a week, week one, do your normal 5. Week two, do the same workout with the third of the weight in the bands on.
Okay. So do your same workouts. Don't necessarily go like 2-a-day type methodology. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Right. And then, so do 2 things. One, increase the repetitions. It's not 8, 8, 5, 5. It's 30, 25, 20, 10, 15.
So we're going to failure on each of those sets?
No, first set, medium burn. Second set, hard burn. Third set, failure. Fourth set, puke type stuff.
That's a good soundbite right there.
Number 2, remember what we're doing. When you get this principle, we want to eliminate oxygen with the light movements, the higher reps, and force crossover recruitment of fast twitch with the light weight. So we don't want this long rest period between sets. All we do if we rest for 60 seconds is we let the muscle reoxygenate. Defeats the purpose. So rest about 20, 30 seconds, or combine agonist, antagonist. I do biceps and triceps together. So biceps, triceps, biceps, triceps. I just alternate.
No rest, just back and forth.
No rest. The biceps are getting a little break, I'm on the tri. And in 4 minutes, my arms are just toast. And then I do a push and a pull. So on my BFR days, and I only work out 3 days a week, upper body, I do 16 minutes of upper body 3 days a week. So I'm working out 48 minutes and I'm 57. And I do bis tries, antagonist, and then a push and a pull, and then a shrug and a lateral raise. And I'm done in 16 minutes. And I'm using, heaviest weight I'm using, everyone, is 12 pounds.
If you guys are listening to this and not watching this, Dr. Mike is a big guy. He's got big arms. So 12 pounds weight, like that's, I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you though about, because you brought up like shrugs, upper back muscles, shoulder muscles. Are you keeping the bands on in the same place, or is there a special place you would put the bands to hit muscle groups that are not in the extremities?
Great question. So everybody gets the fact that, hey, distal to the band here, I'm affecting blood flow, but I don't get chest, shoulders, back. I don't get it. This is all part of the same highway. This is a major, call it a highway of blood going back to the heart. If we interfere or impede the flow of the arm, that affects the flow of the back, chest, and shoulders to the heart to reoxygenate and get back out. So 2 principles. If we just have the bands on and pump them up, when we go to do chest, shoulders, and back, you're going to notice that you're going to fatigue quicker. But there's a better way. If you're going to do chest, shoulders, and back, you want to pre-fatigue. You want to prime the pump by doing arms. You can either blast your arms first, let them rest for a minute or two, and then go do the chest. Or you can just do one quick set and get the burn going and then jump into your chest, back, and shoulders. But either way, we're priming the pump, which is going to reduce available oxygen. And I tell people, if you don't believe me, go do 2 or 3 sets of arms and then drop down and do some push-ups. Watch how fast your shoulder, your pecs light up. Or do some lateral raises with like 3-pounders. You'll be shocked. Your shoulders will be on fire. All we're doing, okay, is we're reducing available oxygen. Okay, that's all we need to do to have the effects of BFR. Remember, once we use more oxygen than is flowing. We're using oxygen in the 7, it's only flowing in the 6. The slow twitch muscle fibers, they get out of the way really quick. 20, 30, 40 seconds, you're feeling the burn. The burn is your indicator that you're crossing over. You're still firing some slow twitch, but now you're in fast twitch type 2A. And if you keep going, and you have to keep going, because if you don't keep going, you don't get the 2X fibers. The glycolic pathway, the big bad boys, that's where all the magic happens. That's why I tell people, when you feel the burn, step on the gas pedal. Don't back off. Even if you're a grandma, you're going for a walk, grandma, you feel the burn, keep going. Pick up the pace. Walk up the hill a little bit. Do a squat. You know, live in that burn a little bit, and you're going to turn it all on.
You're giving me some great sound bites here. Yeah, live in that burn, grandma. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
So whenever I was like previous to this conversation, Dr. Mike, and I thought about BFR training, I thought a lot about occlusion, holding right. The blood inside that like particular muscle belly to facilitate more like having nutrient dense blood, feeding the muscles like in the moment. So what it sounds like though, when you're talking about chest, shoulders, back, you're not going to get quite the occlusion element, but you're still getting like a little bit of blood flow restriction because of the pathway. And then you're also elevating mTOR, IGF-1, growth hormone, and all the other things that are going to allow you to facilitate more muscle growth and recovery. Am I on the right path there?
Yep. And see, we think occlusion. Occlusion doesn't do anything.
Really?
Occlusion is simply eliminating oxygen. Without exercise that uses oxygen, it doesn't matter if we take your 10 flow rate down to a 2 or a 5, or it's irrelevant. You have to, and everybody's different. Me and you, Nate, you might be operating at 60% occlusion. I might be operating 80%, meaning reduction of 60% flow. But you might be doing a little more work than I'm doing. There's a million combinations of this here. Lower the oxygen with the bands, do enough work to use more oxygen, and feel the burn, and then stay in the burn. That's all it is. And there's a million combinations. Our bands, the reason everybody loves them is, number one, it's not a tourniquet. We're the only ones. This is a patent. If you look here, when I blow this up, there are air chambers there, individual air chambers. So it's not a tourniquet. It's not a complete squeeze. It's like a bunch of pressure points pushing around the arm. These bands cannot cut off blood flow. More important, these bands do not affect arterial pressure. What does that mean? We're the only ones that have studied this. That means the deep inflow, the artery, which is really deep, that's the one we don't want to mess with. We don't want to mess with the arterial inflow. Our bands, when studied, did not interfere with that inflow, it did not increase arterial pressure, meaning the pressure the heart's needed to getting the inflow hasn't changed. And then back at the heart, we studied back at the heart isn't under any additional oxygen demand, which means if we're doing this correctly, right here in my arm, I got an oxygen mismatch here. But what's going back and getting to the heart is no different than any other exercise. It's just deoxygenated blood. It's going to move over to the lungs and it's going to come back out and go back out, which means we are not putting anybody at a cardiovascular risk. You might have clots, you might have atherosclerosis, high blood pressure, pacemaker, obstructive cardiopulmonary disease. Look, if you can go for a walk, if you can do exercise, you can put the bands on. And that's why we are so far ahead in the industry, is because of this special design we've got to make this safe for kids. I mean, we got 90-year-old women who are, reversing bone density. That's a whole different topic.
That's incredible. So I was going to bring this up because if you go and just like, if someone's listening to this episode and they're like, sounds good, and they type into Amazon BFR, there's a million different options. You can get something for like $10.
Yeah.
But all those methods are all tourniquet based. They're all complete tension around the arms. And if you're not watching this, the way Dr. Mike described it when he held it up was that each of these sections of the B3 bands have a separate air pocket in it. So it provides, rather than like wrapping pressure, actual like pressure points that's going to keep you safe if you're dealing with any like contraindications or different conditions. So if you are dealing with atherosclerosis, which is one of the hardest words to say ever, high blood pressure, anything like that, then don't cheap out on these. Make sure you're going with the right bands. That's going to allow you to get the results without necessarily putting you at risk for anything else. So
yes.
I'm really glad we brought up kind of like the tension as well. Do those automatically inflate, or do you squeeze them by hand?
So the next thing is, is they have a manual pump, and right on the band, we tell you the number to pump up to. So when you put it on, let's say you start at 200, Nate, you know that you started at 200. And you're maybe 1 or 2 minutes into your workout, and you're like, man, I'm not feeling the burn. And we teach you, hey, put, you know, hook it back up, hook up, put 250 in it. And then you go, oh, wow, there it is. You know your number. It's consistent. You strap on a wrap or a strap, you have no idea what the pressure is. This, you're going to dial in the pressure and be safe. So, for example, on my left arm, 350. My right arm, 275. That's my perfect number. It only took me 3 workouts to figure that out. And now you got your perfect number that you can pump it up to. Next, most bands you can't even get on. I mean, a lot of people can't see me here, but this band, I'm putting it on, I'm strapping it down, I'm hooking up the pump, and I'm pumping it up to 200. That took me 8 seconds and I'm ready to go.
I've tried 4 different types of bands other than B3, and they are not as easy to set up as you just made it look. So
yeah,
that's good to know. So Dr. Mike, this has been like incredibly informative. Honestly, like super exciting. Like the idea that there's actually new technology emerging. Like I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, weightlifting's a waste of time, Dr. John Jackie. They seem to like play on people's insecurities and be like, you don't have to do anything hard work. All you got to do is just this light thing. But I love that this is based off of a therapeutic technology that is shown to be having a ton of other effects that you can absolutely use as an Olympic level elite athlete, as a 90-year-old grandma who needs some extra bone density, and tons of applications all in the middle. So how can we find out more about this? How can we follow you? If we want to learn more, because I know that like now that we kind of turn people's mind on to just like seeing BFR, it's going to start appearing more often, right?
Right. So they want to go out and do 2 things. One, go, you know, just look online for B3, the letter B, the number 3 sciences. On the website, when you go to the website, there's a 4-minute video, but under that video, there are 20 topics. Thyroid health, blood sugar health, build muscle, seniors can do it, kids, you know, speed training, immune health, lose weight, obesity, rehab, pain. One of those 20 topics is going to be exactly what you're looking for. And when you click on that, I have done another video of 8 to 12 minutes, and I'll teach you why this is going to help you with thyroid health. And I'm going to present the science. Everything I'm going to say is backed on science. So how I've made this different is everyone's different. You got different ideas, things you want to do, Nate, than me. We've created this website where you've got all these topics. So if your big thing's, you know, insulin resistance, which by the way, we can fix that in one day. If you want to have that topic, it's fascinating. It'll be a 1-minute conversation. If you got blood sugar problems, you better go watch this video because you can solve it in one day. And I've done the video and I've explained it. So, I mean, if you got time, Nate, that one's a facet that blows people's mind when they hear this.
I'm big into helping people fix insulin resistance. I don't fix it in a day though. So I gotta go check this out. But it sounds like there's a lot of good resources on there, stuff that like way beyond the scope of the podcast to even discuss. So if you have questions about it, go to b3sciences.com. And if you're looking to pick up a set of B3 bands, check out, there'll be a link in the show notes to do so. But Dr. Mike, if someone's interested in kind of following you, besides the B3 website, where else do you exist?
Well, I would tell them to go to Facebook. We got a Facebook group called IAMB3, where we've got hundreds of people posting all kinds of things. So you can see every story out there. You can see the bodybuilders and the grandmas and the moms. And then we've also got a YouTube channel where you can follow our videos. So, I mean, if you just look it up, you're going to find, you know, something that's going to really help you, you know, with your exercise and maybe what you're dealing with or the challenges you're having.
Cool. And I'll throw this all the stuff in the show notes as well. So that way you don't have to go like Google it yourself. But Dr. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show, just delivering such a wealth of knowledge. This was incredible. And I'm so excited to see the potential and the outcomes that the BFR technology is going to bring to health and fitness in the coming decades. Yeah.
Awesome. It was great to have you on. Maybe in the future, you can have me back. If you got any specific topics, I'd love to come back.
I think we're going to have to do another one talking just about insulin resistance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fascinating one. I wish we had more time because there's so many people dealing with that and they just don't understand exercise and the glycogen reservoir.
Awesome. Yeah, man. All right. Well, that's the teaser for next episode with Dr. Mike. Keep your eyes open. We're going to be going live on that one very soon. Dr. Mike, have an amazing day. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I hope that episode was helpful for you. If you liked it, there are three ways that you can start activating your fat loss results right now. Number one, join the community. Go to n8trainingsystems.com/group to get in there. Grab the book. Go to amazon.com and look for the $1 Million Body Method or search for Nate Palmer. And number three, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to these so we can bring on more influential guests and bring those lessons back to you here.